Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to thank you for joining us again today on another episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today, I want to touch on a topic that is dear to my heart and one that has finally taken hold slowly, but I see it gaining some traction and some momentum, and that's the care of our veterans. Finally, we are seeing this brought to the forefront, but we still have a long, long way to go. You know, a nation that asks so much of her men and women who, hearing the call to arms and bearing arms, willingly go to battle against our nation's enemies, then return home to be neglected and just pushed aside. Care for our veterans, in my opinion, should have absolute priority over the care of illegal immigrants and those who refuse to work, who look for work but decide to, they're just going to make a living on handouts from the government. You know, today's guest is going by a pen name of I Am Waiting. He's written a book called In Thy Mother's Honor. He wrote this book to educate us about the terrible, unbelievable pain that is experienced in war. Pain so horrible, nobody can understand it unless they've been in it. In this book, I Am Waiting recalls his own personal memories of serving three tours in Vietnam as a Marine. He tells us about the nightmares he's seen and experienced. He details how he's still experiencing these vivid memories, nightmares, and anguish even today, decades after it happened. Even after all these years, several decades of passing, these things are still haunting him and others who served in Vietnam, as well as those soldiers who have recently experienced issues returning from the Middle East wars. Help me welcome to the program, I Am Waiting. Sir, it is such a blessing to have you on the broadcast today.
Pastor Bob, I greatly appreciate the opportunity to be on and try to highlight anything I can and answer any questions the listeners or you may have. Thank you.
Amen. Well, first of all, as a veteran Army cavalry officer and having served for almost 13 years, I left service in 1989, coming in at the end of the Vietnam era. I enlisted in 76. I then received my commission in 86. You know, I want to thank you for your service. I consider it an honor to have been trained by Vietnam veterans. And during my enlisted time, I served as a drill instructor, as we were talking before coming on the air. And I believed I trained up those who went to war in the 90s. I mean, I would have been involved in the direct training of those who became NCOs and some officers who are leading troops in the Middle East wars recently. But again, I want to thank you for your service. And you know, we're just going to try and get your message out to as many people as we can today. How's that sound?
That sounds great. And again, thank you very much. And thank you for your
service. Thank you. Now, the first question I always ask, I ask every person this very first, right off the top of the bat, I want you to tell us in your own words, who is I Am Waiting?
I am the author of a book, In Thy Mother's Honor. I wrote the book and to bring out, as I was recommended by, I fortunately, unfortunately, after combat, later years of life, had to see a psychiatrist, psychologist, and a trauma specialist. Mm-hmm. So the trauma specialist recommended, after multiple years of pulling out my past from Vietnam, that I put all the thoughts he was able to bring out in writing because he felt there was so much there, so many people needed to know that it could potentially help so many other veterans, as mm-hmm. well as some issues I need cleared up myself. Mm-hmm. The book highlights many things that many vets are dealing with, no matter what war they came home from, or just combat, or maybe family issues. But there's things in there I need cleared up also. Yeah, I titled the name of the book for a specific reason, and I chose the pen name for specific reason. And I try to answer all that in detail, extensive detail in my book.
Okay. Well, why a pen name, and why that pen name, as you were talking about?
The pen name chosen, I Am Waiting, was chosen because I'm a very private person. I've, like a lot of vets who've been in combat later in life, you don't like, or in my case, I don't like a lot of attention. I don't want mm-hmm. anybody ever pitying me. I don't want, you know, being alone is a good thing, and it also is a bad thing for us. Yeah. That's with PTSD or combat and that. But I chose the pen name I Am Waiting because there are a lot of open issues related back to Vietnam, related to me, again, which are defined in the book. But I was injured multiple times in Vietnam, and I refused care from the corpsman and from the doctors for the sole reason, hence the book name, In Thy Mother's Honor, is prior to my going to Vietnam, my mother received notice of my father dying. On that word, she happened to be 8 months pregnant, collapsed, fell on the belly, killed her 8-month-old, or the baby. She was 8 months pregnant. She killed the baby. So 2 months later, I was told to go to Vietnam. She didn't want me to go, said if she heard I was injured or killed, it would kill her. Yeah. So while in Vietnam, each injury, I refused treatment from the corpsman. I treated myself. They would graciously would stand by my side because if they touched me, the record would go back and then someone would show up at my mother's door that I was injured and or killed. Wow. And I felt it would kill her. So that is the title of the book, In Thy Mother's Honor. I honored for my three tours, all my injuries. She never heard about them, never knew I was injured. The scars on my body, I still have shrapnel in my hip. She never seen that, never knew about it. Yeah. And until the day she died, while she questioned me times that I never was telling her the truth once home, she never could see anything because it was under clothes. Yeah. So in my book, I try to highlight things, and I close the book saying, I've been over 10 years now trying to recover my Purple Hearts. Yeah. So I'm saying I am waiting for my Purple Hearts. I'm waiting for some other medal. I found out I was promoted to sergeant while I was there in my record recovery. I am waiting for that. I'm also stating I'm waiting for care for all Agent Orange cancer-suffering Vietnam veterans. I am waiting for the veterans to receive their proper care for the cancers and for their time in service of any war. So I decided that would be a great pen name as I closed out my story.
Okay. And that explains why the title of the book is in my mother's or In Thy Mother's Honor, right?
Yes, Professor Bob.
All right. Now, why you covered it briefly in your introduction there, but tell us again, why did you see the need to write this book? I mean, the psychologists and trauma experts, all that brought this out. Why did they recommend that you write the book?
Their actual wording, and this trauma specialist, his name is Rob Smith, it's spelled out in the book, he felt that I ran across such unique issues in my combat and things that he had, naturally he was seeing 10, 12 veterans a day, you know, 30 days a month, 31 days a month. And he felt the issues I was dealing with from my combat experience were well beyond a lot of others. And he felt people should see what a vet could have gone through because that vet could, again, be their father, mother, brother, sister, neighbor, cousin. And he felt so many needed to be made aware of it. And he felt possibly it could help me in the future as, you know, having to write it and then possibly having to talk about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, tell us, without getting too personal, tell us about some of the injuries you suffered in combat and how they are affecting you today.
Well, number one is Agent Orange. All the veterans in Vietnam were buried in Agent Orange chemical drop that night. We were never told it was happening. We didn't even know about it until years later. And the cancers were now suffering. I have had three cancer surgeries from Agent Orange. So that was one of the issues I brought up. Again, you didn't know it at the time you were being injured. And you never knew about PTSD. That's a later life thing. But my first actual known injury was I was in a transport vehicle. And I was in the rear with a few other Marines. We were hit with a rocket. And Rob and Gabe in the cab were killed. And then we were all thrown out of the back from the impact. And that I received my back injuries, naturally a bunch of cuts, bruises. But what I didn't know at the time, I had broke 8 ribs and and crushed 4 discs in my back and cracked my what's called PARS. That's all been found out later. And I was hunched over, balled over. And the other vets had to be medevaced out that were injured. I refused that because, as I stated, as they explained to me, and I asked them, would my mother know if you treated me? So I morphined up, And I didn't know at that time how extensive the inner back was. And you're a young kid. You're vibrant. You can take a lot. So I was taped up like a mummy. Some of the Marines taped me up like a mummy, and that's how I stayed for a few weeks, taking morphine. And your body just gave me enough strength to keep going. And because the cracks were there, they weren't completely snapped in half. It was cracks everywhere and crushed disc. And you just fought through the pain. And then I went on. I went on and just kept on doing the duty I was required to do each day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, you said how many tours did you serve?
I did three tours. Back then, the tours were 9 months when I was there. I did a nine-month tour, extended for another nine-month tour, and then extended for a six-month tour.
Okay. And
but once I went, I never came home. I didn't. There were no breaks in between. I was in Vietnam the whole time.
Okay. So you didn't come home on vacation and then go back or any of that? When you extended, it just stayed right in country? You didn't get any R&R off to Hawaii or anything like that?
No, across my whole three tours, I was given a five-day stint, that including fly days, and I was sent to Bangkok, Thailand.
Okay.
So that was my break the whole time I was there.
Now, some of these injuries that you were detailing, you're still being plagued by the ramifications of these injuries?
Yes, as the body ages, as the surgeons told me, the bones inside wear apart from all the impact they took, and all the, in my case, like in my back, all the cracks, they disintegrated. My back surgery, they rebuilt me May 4th of 2012, and they told me when they opened me up, they had to take like a little jack and spread me apart. I was so crushed and disintegrated, they ground out all what was left of the disc. My pars are two little plates on the side. They had rebuilt them, plated them on both sides. I got all new discs, double rods, screws, bolts, 28 parts in my lower back.
Wow.
And then my other injury was in my neck, and that's at that time I was thrown into a tree, cracked my neck in a few places, ruined my left shoulder, and I took shrapnel in the right hip on that. That was a mortar hit. And that shrapnel was still there. Part of some of it, I took most of it out that I could take out. And then when I had my shoulder rebuilt last year. It's all metal inside, total shoulder rebuilt with tennis ligaments. Again, those surgeons told me there was nothing left inside my shoulder. It was all powder, just held together by the tendons and ligaments.
Wow. Oh.
And you know, so I've had the neck surgery, same story. They had getting grind out all the calcium buildup around all the cracks in the neck. They spent more time grinding that out than actually changing the disc out on C6 and 7 and plating my neck. My cancer surgeries I've had from Agent Orange. I've had total prostate removal. So I went with the P-bag and taped the leg and the hose for 3 weeks, and then diapers and pads now for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I've had to be re-drilled out from that. I've had bowel cancer surgery from Agent Orange, kidney from Agent Orange, and I've had five heart surgeries from Agent Orange.
How many surgeries?
Five heart surgeries from Agent Orange, and I was only given a 20% chance of surviving the heart surgery, and the one main one, and I, by the grace of God, I'm still here.
Wow, that's wow. Now, has the Veterans Administration provided any help to you at all?
As most vets will know, if they've gone to the VA, it's a battle, I will say, from living hell going through, and I don't understand the logic there. You fill out the papers, you wait, you get denied, you get denied, you get denied, you refill out. And that's something I say in my book, and I'll tell any vet, don't give up. They're trying to wear you down. Keep going back, getting in their face. You fill those papers out, how many times you got to do so you get your proper care. And yes, it was a battle, and I tried to explain to, as I was, they were letting me see the sites. In fact, they made me see the sites when they started to apply for my care. They're causing problems. They're bringing the issues up as you keep getting rejected. You know, then you got more trauma saying, "Hey, I served. I done my duty for you. Why are you hassling?"
Now, when you finally got approved, what was your care like? Was it still a continuous hassle?
I see. The care became good, I will say. Maybe not getting the appointments as timely as you like, but I was getting my appointments.
Yeah.
And I at times would like to get care elsewhere, and they come up with this choice program. It needs to be totally trashed and redone in my mind. The option to go other places. It's not truly set up that way. But yeah, the care is good. I'm seeing some decent doctors. I've seen some poor ones, and that has to be changed. But I'm still fighting and battling, trying to recover. Again, the Purple Hearts. And I didn't realize when I refused my care in Vietnam so that my mother wouldn't know, that I also wouldn't get my Purple Heart. So as my mom has passed years ago, in fact, over 10 years, I've been chasing to go back to get my Purple Hearts. I've battled every form that they wanted me to fill out, everything there is, over and over again, supplied letters from other vets who were there when I injured, x-rays of my body showing the shrapnel in it, showing all the scars on my body, letters from the VA hospital verifying all these injuries. Still, their latest, my fifth and final appeal that they told me was that when I told them that I didn't want them to touch me, I basically told the military I was never injured. That's their last comment to me. Yeah. After every appeal, even though I gave them, again, I've got shrapnel, they've got x-rays of it, letters from the VA proper, doctor's hospital, it didn't matter. It's ignorance. And that, to me, brings back your PTSD. All they're doing is you relive and relive and relive.
Yeah. And PTSD is a real thing. I mean, it's finally been recognized as a true medical condition. It was just undiagnosed for decades. How has that diagnosis affected your life? I mean, even before it was officially recognized, they wouldn't even treat you for PTSD. They didn't even know what that was. How did that time frame of your life compared to now that they have diagnosed PTSD? How has that contrasted?
The contrast is that my married life and raising my family, I was, a lot of the vets from Vietnam, and I'm sure they're going through it with the recent wars in the Middle East. They either go to drugs, they go to liquor, or they've got a lot of rage. Let's say in a positive way, I never went to the drugs and liquor, but I've dealt with a lot of rage my whole life. I've been in a lot of fights, a lot of road rage, very strict. My children were raised very strict. I never hit my wife ever. But waking up in the middle of life yelling and screaming, believing I'm in a firefight again or in an ambush. And she running and telling me many nights she ran into the closet to hide, not knowing what I may do.
Yeah.
And we made it through. My kids are raised strict. And probably that was probably because of all that. I just didn't want no deviation from anything.
Right.
And through my book, they, let's say, learned because they knew I was injured, but they never, and my wife never asked me why the scars, what was this one from, what was that from. They just knew I didn't want to talk about things.
Right.
And they found out that basically just before my book was released, I sat and talked to them.
Okay. So what did they have to say at that point in time?
Like now, you went into tears. Sorry.
That's all right.
Some of the things are harder to talk
about. Yeah. I'll move on to another question. Besides the VA, have you reached out to any other veterans associations or anything like that for help?
On the Purple Hearts, I went, trying to get all my, to get put into the system, to get registered and recognized and rated. The Disabled American Veterans stepped in, and they helped with the paperwork. And I felt they'd done me a great job.
That's great.
With all my injuries, I am rated disabled, though I still have mobile. I'm not wheelchair bound. But now through the later years, for over 10 years, I was chasing my Purple Hearts. The Purple Hearts organization has took my case, and they've been with it for three years, and they're still battling. It's went from I now live, I grew up and born and raised in Chicago, retired from there. I live in Arizona.
Okay.
And the Tucson branch of the Purple Hearts took the case. They felt it was strong and had all the backup. Mm-hmm. And then it went out of Arizona to corporate, and there it sat. And all they tell me every 6 months is, it's a long battle. It's a long battle. Mm-hmm. So if they're doing any more than I've done, they've not been able to tell me anything positive.
Yeah. Have you reached out to, like, your congressmen and your legislatures?
I have done all that, and unfortunately, I felt that the responses have been 0 by 3, and the one was just, they sent me a cover letter saying, what Mr. Nastev is submitting, I am waiting. They felt that it had merit, but they never took up the cause and went to Washington or spoke on my behalf. They just said, attach our cover letter, and it was a stamped name on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't feel I got any support from them at all.
Yeah. With your injuries that you have right now, how do you function with these conditions on a daily basis? I mean, how do they affect your life right now, your injuries?
Well, I make sure I try to walk every day. You don't walk or run at any pace I used to be able to, but I try to do any exercise I can every day to keep myself mobile. I'm in constant pain. I don't take their pain pills. They keep giving them to me, and I keep refusing them. I don't want to be on all that oxy and all that. Yep. You know, they're at a point they say there's no more they can do. Yep. They can just try to give me relief, and I would rather take an aspirin or a Motrin and take the edge off rather than put all that in my body. I tried a couple. It made me nauseous, and it put me where I felt I wasn't in control, and I don't want that.
Yep. I agree 100% on that. My injuries that I received as a police officer that forced me out to retire. I'm the same way. I'm disabled, completely disabled, but I'm still mobile. I'm not in a wheelchair, and I went in for all these back procedures and stuff, and they told me the same thing. Well, there's nothing else we can do. We're just gonna have to control it by pain, with pain medications. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Goodbye. Yeah. If that's all you can do, I'm not coming back. But I'm not taking your pain medicines because I tried it, as you said, and I felt the same way. It's like, I don't want to feel like this 24 hours a day. I just, no, it's not happening. And, that is a personal decision that each person has to make. But I think now we are seeing the society catching on that, they were just trying to mask the symptoms by making everybody high. I mean, that's all the doctors were doing, was pushing these pills instead of treating the condition. And that has to change.
It didn't just make many high. It got so many addicted, and then their life ended in so many different ways.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen. So, you mentioned being completely disabled. Has the government, helped and provided any compensation to you in regard to your injuries? Social Security, Medicare, just VA, or how's all that work?
I worked my whole life. I worked construction. So I get from there, and then I get from the military now for as a disabled vet.
Okay. So the military did... The military did say that you became disabled through them?
As of about 5 years ago, yes.
Okay, amen. Praise God for that. Amen.
Yes, I'm with you, Pastor Bob, 100%.
One step in the right direction as far as the military goes. Praise the Lord. Now,
but it shouldn't have to take 8-10 years of fighting.
That's right. That's
when you're going through all that.
Yeah, I agree. Now, these surgeries you've had after you came home from war, they're all related to combat injuries, and the VA is still denying that you received them in combat?
No, they're not denying I received them in combat. They realize I received them in combat. Their records show I received them in combat. And if you've been through this or any other vest, in my case, I have to go to St. Louis. Get the records. Well, that's where the Navy Marine Corps records are kept.
Right.
And I have to ask for my records. They send me the records. You find everything you're talking about in your records, and then you send them back to them with the paper you got to fill out. I think that's nonsense. Yeah. I talk to people on the phone, and they're reading about my injuries to me, and when I'm trying to discuss with them, why do I got to go through this?
Right.
You're talking about the injury I'm putting down on paper. You send me that paperwork to send back to you to then be sent to the VA headquarters in so many different states, and then finally in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And then you give me these denials, even though all the paperwork was there. And the denials, in the beginning, they were, you know, you left out one line here.
Right,
you didn't
right.
put an X in the wrong box. Yeah. So you had to start all over. That was another 6 months. And one time it was, I didn't sign it in the right spot. And then finally, after all the rejections, the last one was that, what I told you earlier, Pastor Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
When you said you didn't want the care, you were telling the military you were never injured.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I got on the phone and I said, give me a break. You read this stuff to me. It's all in the records. There's x-rays. Over and over. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time again on today's episode. I'm going to be finishing this interview with I Am Waiting Tomorrow. I want you to come back for it. But there's an important takeaway I want you to understand. When our men and women serving in the armed forces came back from Vietnam, many of them were treated absolutely horribly. And I'm glad to see that the returning men and women from our armed forces coming back from the Middle East are being welcomed home as the heroes as they should be. But there are still a generation of Americans that have been basically left out in the cold to society. And they haven't been given the treatment they deserve. They haven't been given the help they deserve. And this book, In Thy Mother's Honor, is I Am Waiting's attempt to try and bring that to the forefront. So join us tomorrow as we finish this interview. Till then, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.